Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Understand that we didn't quite finish all of chapter 5 last Wednesday night. And I know I missed something by not being here and being able to sit in on the discussion. I didn't have any voice at all for Wednesday night, but I didn't feel like listening either. So, first time I've been under the weather for quite a while. But let's look at this portion. I trust that we'll have time also to go back to the Gospel of Mark to look at a few things here. There's something I want us to notice as we go along here, and I might say that we have gone over the remaining part of chapter 5, that is from verse 30 on through the close of the chapter, in one of our earlier lessons. And so we may not spend a great deal of time in that particular portion tonight. However, I want us to notice that as the Lord Jesus presents himself to these people, we might say that there is a twofold purpose here. He is presenting himself to the people, and at the same time, he is defending himself. He is the sent one from the Father. The Father sent the Son into the world. And as many as received him, we're told, as many as received him, he came to offer himself. The angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So as many as would receive him, to them he would give the right to become sons of God. As he offers himself to the nation, as he begins his ministry, we find that the religious leaders, the so-called shepherds of Israel, are the ones who not only are reluctant to receive him, they not just sit back quietly and listen and examine everything that he has to say. They did a lot of that. But they're bent now on refuting what he has to say. And their purpose is not so much to examine what he says as it seems to relate to truth, as it is to find fault with what he had to say and what he did. Their minds have made up, and they don't want to be confused with facts, as it were. Their minds are made up. Now, I quoted just part of that passage a while ago from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. If we go back to verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, and they that were his own received him not. He offered himself, they rejected him. Now, we trace this course in the ministry of our blessed Lord and find that he gave, as we might say, credential upon credential to establish his identity. He is the Son of God. Being the Son of God, he comes with the authority of the Father. And he comes to accomplish the work that the Father had given him to do. And in one of the parables that the Lord spoke to Israel, primarily to the leaders of Israel, we find that he explains how that in their rejecting the Son, they're really rejecting the Father. Now remember the parable of the vineyard. How that this man had purchased the vineyard and so on, and had gone into a far country, and he sent his servants back that they might gather his portion. But when the servants came, those tenants, those who were operating the vineyard, said, here come his servants. And so they beat them and sent them away empty. They would not receive them. He did this again, and they were handled in the same way. He said, well, I'll send my son, and surely they will respect my son. And he sent his son, and they said, oh, there comes the heir of the vineyard. We will kill him, and then we'll take over. They would not allow this one to reign over them. So they rejected the son. They rejected the father. They rejected the son, and they rejected, as it were, the owner of the vineyard. Now, in verse 23 of John 5, well, to begin the sentence, we need to go back to verse 22, where the Lord said, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father who hath sent him. So, you see, this is a very serious matter that faces the Jews. And it is just as serious a matter today as every individual is faced with the decision whether or not they will honor the Son or reject him. And you know, there are a number of people, and who was it brought this up last night in the Bible study? I believe it was John, who mentioned about this one fellow that did not think it would be necessary really to receive the Lord Jesus and so on. He believed in God, all right. He wouldn't claim to be an atheist, would he? But yet he wouldn't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And he just knew that God was righteous and good and just, and since this fellow himself was a good man, God wouldn't dream of sending him to hell. Now, this is a very popular idea today. This is a very popular idea. I mean, it's a common idea. Let's put it that way. It's a very common idea. And I think this passage applies right here. If any man will not honor the Son here, he certainly is not honoring God. So this fellow says that he's going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet he believes in God, and he's following God and all like this. Oh, there's a vast contradiction here. For our Lord himself says, he who honors the Son honors the Father. Because, you see, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, he came with all the authority and the power of God with him. What did the Lord say before he went back to heaven? Just to confirm the apostles in the work which they were commissioned to do. What did he say? I have received some authority, some power from my Father. No, that's not the way that verse goes, is it? What did he say about authority and power? All authority, all power has been given me in heaven and on earth. On the basis of this, he says, you go. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, did he come with any less authority and power? No. And so, when the Lord Jesus came into the world, he came with all the honor of the Father. Now, that all men should honor the Son, even, now notice this, even as they honor the Father. Now, does not this verse also speak something of the deity of Christ? I think it speaks something of the deity of Christ, doesn't it? Would the Lord for one moment suggest, if he were any less than God, that any man should give the Father, or should, him equal glory and honor with the Father? No, he said that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And today to reject the Lord Jesus Christ carries with it the same judgment as it would have carried for those people back in that day to have rejected the Son. You see, the same challenge goes forth today to every individual. And it might be presented in very much the same manner as that decision that Pilate was faced with in his day. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? To reject him is to reject the Father. To dishonor him is to dishonor the Father. To speak evil of him is to speak evil of the Father. Now do you see why he said in verse 22 that the Father judges no man but has committed the judgment to his Son? So now he that honoreth not the Father, or rather honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father who hath sent him. So the Lord is making it quite plain to these people. You claim that you honor God. You are very zealous for the law of Moses. You are very concerned about doing everything that God wants you to do. But yet, what is your reaction toward me? You see, the Father has sent me, he says. The Father has sent me. Now he goes right on to show there, speaking of the two resurrections, to show that a man cannot escape this matter of judgment. Now, by that I mean, these who have set aside the Lord Jesus Christ, have rejected him, they're going to have to stand in judgment before God someday. And this judgment is based upon what? What they have done with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to say, but they're not going to put up an argument to God the Father and say, well, now, wait just a minute. We did this, we did that. The Father would say, in whatever way you received or rejected my Son, as it were, this is the same attitude you have toward me. Now, he said in verse 24, the Lord made it clear that those who would believe on him, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. This is blessed truth, isn't it? This is the message that the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring to these people, lost in sin. People who were really waiting, as it were, under the judgment of God. Now he said, he that believeth on me, or he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Now, does this mean that God is going to just overlook their sin? He's just going to bypass their sin? God is not going to consider their sin? Oh, no. The judgment from which a believer escapes here, it's the judgment that fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross on Calvary. God didn't bypass the judgment due to us. God didn't say, well, you're a naughty boy and all like that, but that's all right, I'll let it go this time. God never lets it go. He doesn't pass by sin like that. God's grounds for forgiveness, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. apart from the shedding of blood, there's no what? No remission. No exceptions to that. No exception. So the judgment due to us fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, when our sins were judged in Him, that is, by faith, we receiving Him, our sins being judged in Him, we are set free, because God's not going to judge us for the sins that He placed upon His Son. His Son bore the judgment for us. Now, the Lord goes on to tell them that the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, note what He has done, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. All through the Gospel of John, you see these little traces of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is important. This is very important. Now, notice what He has given to the Son. He hath given Him authority to execute judgment, because He is the Son of Man. He says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. There's a resurrection of life, and there's a resurrection of judgment. Now, there are many people confused about the subject of judgment. There are many who have heard the gospel and who've heard much about the Lord Jesus Christ, who, because of some very erroneous teaching, have not come to understand that the subject of sin has been dealt with once for all in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They still feel like that one day, all alike, the saved and the unsaved, are going to be raised together and stand before God to be judged according to works. You know, there are a lot of people believe that. Would you believe that? There are a lot of people that believe that. Believe that there is yet a judgment that's going to determine whether or not we're saved or lost. Oh, I tell you, it's a sad thing for a person to go through this life just simply wondering whether or not he's going to be saved in the end or lost. Isn't that tragic? It seems so hard sometimes for us to take some of the simple promises of God's Word and appropriate them for ourselves. Someone give me a passage or two that would reveal beyond any question that judgment is past. We're saved now and we're secure in Christ. Or you can grab two or three out of the air. I just read John 5:24. It says in that passage that everlasting life is a present thing. He says He has everlasting life. You know, if you have everlasting life, how long is it going to last? All right, say, well, it lasts forever. Well, now suppose someone say, well, but you might lose it. Can you lose something that lasts forever? Well, there's another passage or two. What about Romans 8:1? What about this? There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So the Lord Jesus is not telling us here that we're going to have to stand up in that great day of judgment, as some call it, and have our works tested to see whether or not we're saved or lost. Our salvation is decided here and now, isn't it? It's a sad thing to put that day off to, and many, many put it off too long. The Lord, however, goes on in verse 30 to say, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father who hath sent me. Now, you will note this also, and we've pointed this out, I think, in previous studies, but how often the Lord Jesus uses this expression, the Father who has sent me. He's the sent one of the Father. He's not here on his own apart from the Father. He and the Father are one, and he says, the Father hath sent me. Now, he calls some witnesses to testify, as it were, concerning himself. Whether or not he is just making these claims all on his own, the question that these Jewish leaders would ask, well, now, we want this matter established according to truth. What witnesses do you have to prove that you are all that you claim to be, that you are who you claim to be? All right, the Lord Jesus said, let's call John the Baptist to witness. They agreed that John the Baptist was indeed a prophet. And many respected John's prophecy, even though the things he had to say cut very deeply into their religious pride. But he said, you sent unto John, and he bore witness of the truth. Obviously, here he's referring to a special group who went to John to find out, well, who do you say this man Jesus is? And what do you think John told them? John told them without any doubt. He would tell them that I am come, God has sent me to be a forerunner of this one. He is the Son of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But the Lord says, I receive not the testimony from man. But he says, John was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But John has the Lord Jesus has another witness. Verse 36. I have a greater witness than that of John. There is yet a greater witness than the personal testimony of John. And that witness is this. He said, the works which the Father hath given me. Here it is again. He is making it plain to them. He is emphasizing the fact that he is sent of God, and what he's doing is what God has sent him to do, and what God has called upon him to do, the Father, that is. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. He's trying to establish the fact that he is the sent one of God. Now, if they would receive this truth, they would have to receive his message. But he has yet another witness. He's called upon John the Baptist. He's referred to his works. Now he says the witness of the Father. The Father himself, who hath sent me, you see, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, you believe not. Now there's another witness. The Scriptures. He's called John the Baptist to witness his own works. Who could refute these mighty works? And the Father hath borne witness. And now the Scriptures, he said. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they, or they are they, which testify of me. The Scriptures? What Scriptures? Why, we can say from Genesis to Malachi. This was their Bible. This was the Old Testament. The law and the prophets and the Psalms. They would all testify concerning him. They were witnesses of him, unto him. The Lord said in verse 40, "And ye will not come to me that you may have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive. How can ye believe, who receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Do not think that I accuse you to the Father. Now, if they think that, as the expression is today, if they think that the Lord is really getting down on them, he said, I don't have to stand here and accuse you. There is another who accuses you, and that's Moses. Oh, wait just a minute. Moses was the most important popular character among them. They stood bold and firm on the law of Moses. What Moses has said, we'll do it. Now, he said, there's one who accuses you, and that's Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Now, if they had claimed to believe all that Moses said, if they would take the law of Moses apart piece by piece and were so well acquainted with it, they surely should have known who he was speaking of. He wrote of me, he said. Then in verse 47, "But if ye believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" You see, all that the Lord Jesus would say would be in perfect agreement with what Moses wrote. If they wouldn't receive what Moses wrote, why would they receive what he had to say? The fact is, they were not going to receive his word. And really, had they obeyed Moses' word, the word through Moses? Oh, no. They were really more deeply concerned about the tradition of their fathers than they were about the law of Moses. It really boils down to this. They did not have the love of the Father in their hearts, as he said in verse 42. I think this is a very key passage to note here. "I know you that ye have not the love of God in you." If they had loved the Father as they claimed that they did, how could they despise his Son, who came in, as it were, in the image of the Father, who bore all those blessed characteristics of the Father? How could they reject him? Well, they did. So, after all, these witnesses, they still are not going to accept him. So the Lord would say to them again, the real purpose, the real desire of the Father is that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Even as they honor the Father. That was too big an order for them. You know, even today, I believe it would be impossible for a man to really love God and hate the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a blessed thing when the believer comes to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he's thus honoring the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the person who receives the Lord Jesus is receiving the Father. The one who rejects the Lord Jesus is rejecting the Father. That's what he's saying here. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father who hath sent him. Great question today is, what will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? You know, it'll be a terrible day when lost men will look up into the face of Him whom they have rejected. Who would have nothing to do with Him. Who set Him aside. We will not have this man to reign over us. Now, just quickly, let's turn back to Mark chapter 3, or chapter 2, really. And there is another incident here that we will just cover just for a few minutes, because you remember that the introduction, really, to this discussion in chapter 5 came as a result of the accusations against the Lord.